If you take your Bibles and open up to the scripture reading, Ephesians chapter 5. You know, we've been going chapter by chapter, verse by verse through the book of Ephesians, and there was this thing called Christmas and New Year and kind of stopped the series, but we're going to pick up here in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, if you remember, we went over walk in love. And then Paul describes what it means to walk in love. And then in verse 8, he talks about walking in the light. And then in verse 15, he talks about walking in wisdom. And as he is showing us the way to walk, to live our Christian life, we come down to verse 22. All right, I'm here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. All right, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. All right, and here we see that God begins to describe God. Now, God, through the Apostle Paul, all right, but he's working through the Apostle Paul, and he begins to describe the relationship that God has for his people as a marriage relationship. Yeah, the relationship he has with you and with me is like a marriage. The church is called the Bride of Christ for a reason. There's an intimate relationship that we are to have with God. As you get to verse 32, I'm in Ephesians 5. Look at verse 32 with me. It says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And as Paul is writing, all right, he wants us to understand about this relationship. This isn't the first time he has talked about a special relationship that God has with his people. Earlier in Ephesians chapter 4, he uses the illustration of a body in verses 15 and 16, where he says that Christ is the head of the church and we are his body. See, there's a relationship there. And just as we care for our body, just as we eat and take care of all our physical needs, all right? Yeah, and so God takes care of us. God is watching over us. He is providing for us. He's protecting us. And there's a special relationship between the head and the rest of the body. And it's the same way in marriage. He is using the marriage as an illustration of our relationship to God. He's using it as an illustration of the church. It's interesting to me that in verse 21, Ephesians 5, verse 21, he sets this up. All right? Notice what he says here in verse 21. I'm in Ephesians 5, verse 21. He says, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Yeah, he's saying that, hey, men and women, he's speaking to both the men and the woman, he's speaking to everybody inside the church. He says, you should submit to one another. Now, we can't do this by ourselves. We need the help of God. We need to submit to God, and through his strength and his power, that we submit to one another. Now, what do I mean by submitting to one another? All right? Yeah, Jesus speaks of the Apostle Paul. He speaks to Paul while he is traveling to Damascus. And on his way to Damascus, God, Jesus Christ, God the Son, comes to Paul. All right? And he says, why do you persecute me? He asked him a question. Yeah. He's saying, why do you persecute me? Now, Paul was not literally persecuting Christ. But by persecuting the early Christians, okay, And Christ was so identified with his people, with his church, that it was like persecuting Jesus Christ. All right? And what I'm trying to say today is that Christ has the same attitude towards his church today. He has the same attitude towards you and me today. He is very aware of what we go through, our hurts, our pains, the things that grieve us, the things that move us to the core. He is very aware of it, and he is just allowing us to know that, hey, I am very close to you. Hey, even during the communion service, all right? We had the communion service last week. We said, for the ordinance of humility, when we wash someone's feet, it's as if we're washing the feet of Jesus. All right? Yeah. This is a submission. We're humbling ourselves before God. And God, get a load of this. Jesus, when someone washes our feet, it's as if Jesus himself is washing our feet. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he cares for us. Yeah, Jesus was showing us. Yeah, there, as he, in the communion service, his great love and care for us today and every day. Yeah, he's watching over us. And here, in verse 21, but Paul is talking about submitting to one another. Yeah, Jesus learned to submit. Yeah, we see in the Garden of Eden. Yeah, in the Garden of Eden, what does he say? He's praying and he says, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. He was submitting. He was saying, hey, Lord, this is the way I want my church to be. This is the way I want my people to be. Yeah, I want them to submit completely to you. I want them to trust you just like I trust you. Jesus taught us when to pray. In the Lord's Prayer, we say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. All right, we pray that God's will be done. We surrender to it. God, these are my plans, but I don't want to do my plans. I want to do your plans. All right, how many problems would be solved in the home, in the church, in the community if this was the spirit, all right, of submitting to one another, if the spirit of Christ was in our hearts today? Now look at chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Okay? Now notice that phrase, as to the Lord. He's saying, wives, hey, I want you to submit to the Lord. Now he's just not speaking to wives. He's speaking to the church. Well, we want the church to submit to the Lord. We want the church to do the Lord's will. Yeah, it says here, as to the Lord, that the submission to Christ must come first. I remember years ago, I was in a family life program up at Andrews University, and they brought in a guest speaker and his wife, and they were talking to us about family life. And they spoke for about an hour. They spoke about 50 minutes, and then they stopped to ask questions. Now, the man was quite dynamic. He was a little charismatic, and he spoke for most of the time. And the wife was more quiet, all right? And every now and then she would interject and speak to us. And then at the end, when there was questions, a person asked the wife, does your husband make you happy? All right? And everybody laughed at the question, you know? Yeah, what is she going to say? It's a family life seminar, all right? Everybody expected her to say yes. And the lady was very honest. She said no. And then everybody had another great big laugh. They didn't expect that that was going to be the answer. She said no. And the husband laughed, and the husband said, honey, tell him what you mean. And she said, you know, when we first got married, she said, my husband was my world, okay? But as I got to know him intimately and we shared our thoughts and our plans and our purposes, and I got to see him and really know him like nobody else, I began to see that there were cracks. There were cracks in our relationship. There were cracks in him. And I was frustrated by this. And I went to the Lord. And I prayed to the Lord. And I said to the Lord, my husband doesn't make me happy. And the Lord answered her. And God said, he's not supposed to make you happy. He said, I am to be your source of happiness. And when I am the source of your happiness, then your husband can add a lot more to it. And she learned. And this is the importance of submission to God. Whether you're a wife or a husband, we need to submit completely to Jesus Christ. This is what God wants. Our greatest happiness in our lives isn't going to come from the church or from the pastor. And our greatest happiness in life is going to be coming from when we submit our lives completely to Jesus. When we don't hold back. All right? Now, Christ, in verse 23, I want to go to verse 23. It says here, for the husband is the head of the wife, so also Christ is the head of the church. Now, he's just not talking about family. He's just not talking about marriage. He wants us to understand there's more to it. He wants us to understand he's talking about the church. He's saying that, hey, Christ is the head of the church. And how did he become the head of the church? Did God just look at him and say, well, you're my son, I'm going to make you head of the church? No. No. Jesus became a man. He became just like us. He lived among us. Yeah. There were good times, yeah, when he healed people, when he shared his parables. And there were good times when he fed the multitudes, all right, when he walked on the water, when he raised the dead. And there were great things that took place, yeah. And then there were sad times, yeah. The arguments with the religious leaders, there were sad times. When he went into the garden. Yeah, there were sad times when he went to the cross. Yeah. Jesus went through it all and became the head of the church. He paid the price. He earned the right. All right? It says he is the head of the church and he is the Savior of the body. Yeah, now, the body is a symbol of the church as well. He used it in Ephesians chapter 4. Yeah, he is saying that, hey, Christ is the head. And because he is the head, we must submit to him. And when we submit to him first, no matter what happens in this world, no matter what circumstances we face, we will have joy and peace and happiness in Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 25. He speaks not only to the woman, all right? He speaks to the husbands, all right? He's already been speaking to them, but now he speaks specifically to the man. He says, love your wives. Yeah. He doesn't just say, hey guys, your wife is going to submit to you. You're the head. She has to do everything you say. You know, I've been in Bible studies. I met men who say that, but they forget this part. All right? So don't be a man like them. All right? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. Hey, is the church a perfect place? No, that's right. It's not a perfect place. It has made mistakes. But the good news is that one day the church will be ready. In Revelation 19, yeah, in spite of all its imperfections, in spite of all its faults, the church will be ready. It will be clothed in the garments of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Its character will be perfect. Yeah, and it says that Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. It says that this is the spirit that is to be within man. He is to love his wife. He is to take care of her. He is to watch over her, protect her, just like Jesus took care of the church and loved the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water and by the word. Yeah, men, if you want to be the best husband you can be, you got to be a spiritual man. You got to be completely submitted to Jesus Christ. You got to give your heart completely to him and not hold anything back. When you look at your wife, you should do your best to save her in God's kingdom. And this is what Jesus is calling the man to do today. This is what he's calling all of us to do. As we look at people around us, outside of the church, people who live in our community, and we should look at them like godly men and godly women. We should look after their salvation and do all that we can to be sure that they are saved, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. This is what God wants. He wants more than just good marriages. He wants a church that reflects himself, that reflects his character. I read this week about a dad who was putting his son to bed, and they had a ritual they went through. And the dad would say, I love you. I love your brother. I love your sister. I love your mother. I love your grandparents. I love your aunts and your uncles. And they had this little ritual that they would go through. And finally, the little boy says, do you love Teddy? And Teddy was a teddy bear, all right? He was a teddy bear that the boy had when he was a little baby. And this bear had been through a war, you know? He went everywhere with the boy. And he got spit up on, you know, dropped in the mud. And mom would wash it. And it, through the years, it was just beat up and worn and ragged. And the dad looked at it, Teddy, and he just said, oh, man. He says, yes, I love Teddy, too. And as he went out of the room and he turned out the light, you know, his son had smiled and his son hugged Teddy, and he thought to himself, you know, that's the way God is. You know? God loves Teddy. Yeah, just like his son loved Teddy, and even though he was beat up and worn and used and abused, yeah, God knows everything we go through. And because his son loved Teddy, then the father could say he loves Teddy. God loves us because he created us, because he has redeemed us, and because his son loves us, our father loves us. And our father is calling us to be the men, to be the woman, to be the husbands, to be the wives he has called us to be, to submit ourselves completely to him and to trust him. And when that happens, yeah, the church will be ready for the coming of Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, today, yeah, we looked at some tough verses. And Lord, we don't want to hold back any longer. We don't want to play games. But because Jesus loves us, because you love us, we want to submit to you, put you on the throne of our hearts today and every day. And may we be the men and the woman you have called us to be. Fill us with your spirit, clothe us with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and help us to live for you every moment of every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.